At this time, we're going to hear from our young folks.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Good
job. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Well, we all made it through another week. I enjoy one of the challenges to sit down when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something. And it's been on my mind this week. And one of them is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 61, verse 2. And this is David speaking. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And the Apostle Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. And did all eat the same meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. My question for you today is Jesus your rock of ages? I like that. At this time, Brother Jerry. Any announcements?
Don't forget about the bake sale on Saturday. If you have baked goods you want to drop off between 4 and 6, there will be somebody over here at the activities building, so just drop them off.
Any other announcements? Yes.
Bible study will be the 19th at 10:30.
I hear Brother Bob's sick this morning. We'll have to remember him. Any other announcements? At this time, Brother Jerry, if you would. Call to worship. Shout for joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for another day, for another privilege, Lord, to be in your house and to sense your presence, to hear your word, to be with your people, to share the love and the joy that you've given us, Lord. But most of all, Father, to just be blessed to be in your presence. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit move in the midst and meet the needs and touch your people and be with those, Father, who are sick and by today and couldn't make it. But most of all, Father, that you are God and God alone. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're about to do in this place. And for your many blessings in our lives, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. First hymn, 365.
Abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey.
And obey. Sounds simple, but it's hard to do. Pastor Tracy, what was the official count on our canned goods for today?
I believe there's about almost 90 there.
Praise the Lord.
The last couple that came in, so I think there's about 87, and we wanted to pray over those for the soup kitchen.
Would you do the honors, sir?
Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have a chance to give back to our community, and we thank you, Lord, for these cans of food that have been given. We pray you would bless them and oversee them to the right households, and we thank you for the Thurmont Food Bank, Lord. Thank you for the those that manage it and those that volunteer there and hand out the food, and we just ask, Lord, that would continue to be a place where people in need can come and receive that, which will help to supply their needs. And Lord, so Lord, we just ask your blessings on this food and our community, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. And the Bible says that if he's thirsty, we're to give him a drink. If we're hungry, we're to feed him. It's a simple act of obedience. And sometimes we all have the struggles. Are there any prayer requests for today?
Dad, I think, has the touch of the flu. Mom's not feeling well either. Then I just got word that Debbie Eiler is down with something as well. So, and with her trying to take care of Ralph, that's not an easy task. So let's try to keep all them on just some unspoken requests.
I made a note about our government. If you've been keeping up with the news, which is so depressing, how that Donald Trump is putting a lot of people out of work, whether they deserve it or not, it seems like he's going about things the wrong way. You know, people deserve a fair chance at life, but who are we to argue with Donald Trump? But our government needs help. Our nation needs help. We need God in America again. Any other prayer requests? Yes, brother. Yes, sister.
Jean Feeney, she's been sick all week, too. She's been to the doctor twice this week. And Darlene is also down sick, too.
Yes, sir. Did you have her?
No, he didn't.
Oh. All right, any people on this side?
I want to continue to keep my wife in prayers and also all those that are having medical issues and situations. I'm not going to try to name them because I just have them in my life, but the good Lord knows who they are. And also peace and love and harmony throughout the whole world. Over there in Israel and the surrounding countries, we pray, Father, that you will bring them in a peaceful, loving manner.
Well, it's going to take an act of God.
Amen.
A mighty act of God. it's going to take, I'm safe to say, a fulfilling of his scriptures to pour his spirit out upon all flesh.
And you were talking about being led by our the ones that have been voted in. I think we need to pray for them that they will call on the Lord for wisdom and guidance of our country and our nation and our world.
Well, even the Bible spoke about the kings who sought the Lord, but the young people would not, and they disobeyed. So there's nothing new under the sun. But it's going to take an act of God.
Well, I think as long as we have less news, more God, and faith, that's where you need to be. Don't follow the news. That's where you're
It's wrong. Very depressing. No matter what time of the morning you have
no
to get up.
Keep your faith in God and keep looking up. By the way, we have a joy too. I'm glad to see my family back here.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
That's a joy.
No matter how young they are, right?
That's right.
And we're also going to pray over our offering before we close it. Any other prayer requests?
Bradley, I just want to be thankful for everybody that reached out to me yesterday and has been praying for me. And I know Susie probably feels the same way with her family, too. That prayer does help, and friends, and just thinking and uplifting each other really helps.
Well, it's like that old song says, united we stand, divided we fall. But, you know, you can't go wrong holding to God's unchanging hand. And to remind us all that we are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise God. So if there's no other prayer requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for another day. And we thank you, Father, that you hear the cries of your people, for those who are hurting, for those who are lost, for those who just need a touch from you, Lord God, for those who need a blessing, for those who need lifted up, for those who need guidance, for Bob and Linda, and Ralph and Debbie, and for Frank and for Pat, and for all those who are sick and couldn't make it today, Lord. We just ask for the mighty move of the Holy Spirit, because you're able to heal the broken and to raise the dead, to open blinded eyes and unstop the ears, and make the lame to walk. Father, there is nothing impossible with God. Father, just for each prayer request, and for our government, Lord, that seems to be going down the wrong way, that your Holy Spirit would visit them, Lord God, as you visited the people as they slept, Lord, that you would stir their hearts, Lord God, to wake them up spiritually, to do the right thing for the good of the people, Lord. And Father, I just ask that for all the finances, Lord, for Social Security that's under attack and being robbed by our government, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, do the right thing, Lord God. And for all these nations, Lord God, who have been under attack, Father, I just ask for your divine intervention, for all those who have lost their lives, for all those, Lord God, who have lost everything in California, Father, that you would help them, Lord, to rebuild, not just physically, Lord, but spiritually as well. Help them find hope in Jesus Christ, and help them find peace, that in the midst of all this tragedy, that they can still find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, there's so much to be done in this nation and in this world that seems to be heading in an ungodly direction. Father, that you would send forth the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of light, and open people's eyes, Lord God, that this nation needs God. This world needs God. We need a mighty move of the Spirit, Lord God. That as your word said that in the last days, that you would pour your Spirit out upon all flesh, Lord God, regardless of their ranking in the government, that you would just pour your Spirit out, Lord God, in such a way, Lord God, that it would bring this nation back to God. Father, we just praise you, Lord, that you would touch those today, Lord God, who just can't seem to find. Father, they need peace in their lives and in their homes. That you would touch the hearts and minds, Lord God, and help them find stability, Lord God, in a world that seems to be heading down the road of chaos. And Father, that you would bring your Spirit of light into their lives. And Father, we just play over the offerings today, Lord God, that you would bless the gift and the giver, that it would go for your intended use, that it also, Father, in obedience to your word, Lord God, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you would turn in your hymnals to 487.
Please stand if you're able.
Begun. I forgot to read this here, called Christian Giving. It's in Matthew 19:21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. There's a lot of people in this life don't want to give up their material things to serve the Lord. At this time we'll read the message. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. At this time, Brother Sam.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Today we're going to look at how to maintain spiritual therapy, spiritual maturity. When we talk about therapy, we'll look at it from a physical standpoint, it's my illustration, and then some things in a spiritual way, let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. As we have all these prayer requests today, we have so many promises in your word that you know all about us. We saw in Sunday school, since you made us, you know what ailments we would have. We pray for our congregation. You'll bless us as we do your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be talking today about hands, knees, feet. And Dan's going to tell us the first thing about hands in Hebrews 12:12.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the people need.
Okay. So we're talking about hands. Talks over here about lift up hands. Not get weak. Years ago, before we moved to Thurmont, my wife and I live in the D.C. area. We had a cabin, a home built down in Front Royal, Virginia, development called High Knob, built up in the mountain. And there were about 200 homes. We had water and roads and everything. And when we go down there sometimes and relax a bit, our front porch was at 2,000 foot elevation, overlooking the Shenandoah Valley. The man across the street from us was a man named Guido. And Guido was a violinist of the National Symphony Orchestra in Washington, D.C. We especially enjoyed going down in summertime. Because when he's practicing, and I'm not talking about squeaking and squealing, when you have a violinist with the doors open, we had our own public entertainment of music. In fact, a couple times, he wanted Jackie to play the piano. So Jackie has played the piano for a man with the orchestra in Washington, D.C., Guido. And so sometimes we would take a walk, and I took notice when we were walking along, he had something in his hand, like a little ball. And we're walking along, and I'm looking at beautiful things, and he's doing this, squeezing that little ball. So one time I said, "Hey, Guido, what's with the little ball, dummy?" He said, "Sam, violinist." He had to have that hand nimble. So there's a need to have our hands working in a way. But I'm looking now at an event that happened in Exodus 17, 11, and 12. A very interesting thing that Dan will read for us about Moses and his hands.
When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, the enemy prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
So in this case, holding up your hands was victory. He got tired and his hands went down and the feet. So back up and down. How long do you think you could, somewhere, that went around, hold your hands up just like this? Look at your watch. See how long you can do it. A slight confession. I know I can do it for 5 minutes. Because I went down in the basement. My wife was not there. And just held my hands up. But I'm telling you. How long can you hold your hands up? Just like that. So I've done 5 minutes. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Some of you will brag and say, "I did it for 10. And your wife will say, "He's crazy." So, well, I don't know what's going to happen. He held his hands up. They won. Dropped down. So this holding up hands in the Bible represents victory. So what did he do for Moses? He got a great big stone. He sat on the stone, and then each fellow held his hand up. So what I'm saying is we help one another. We work together. And when I'm talking about spiritual therapy, how about physical therapy? How many of you have ever had physical therapy? Maybe in Thurmont? Some, okay. And so what I'm saying is therapy is more than exercise. Because that therapist is telling you what kind of exercise you need. So I have been doing vocal therapy for 4 years. I got COVID some years ago and lost my voice. You know, last year I sounded like Donald Duck. I don't sound like Donald Duck now. But in our home, I'm in my office doing my vocal therapy. And Jackie's out in the living room doing her knee therapy. So it's almost like the Connie Street rehab center. So I'm looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. Our therapy would be reading the Bible, getting in the Bible, reading the Bible every day. And with those of you that had physical therapy, you had to do it every day, didn't you? You didn't do it just once a week. It's every day. And so we should be reading our Bible every day. It's amazing, my wife and me, as we read the Bible, it's the same Bible, but current events, there are various times when I said, oh, that's how that is. Now, in my case, I have about 20 versions of the Bible. So every year I read a different version. I have read the original 1611 King James Version. It is slow going. I've also read the Geneva Bible. This year I'm reading the Berkeley Version. So sometimes it will say something a little bit different, but be in the Bible every day and be praying. I try to pray definite enough that I know whether God answered or not. I don't pray, God bless all the missionaries. I pray for something special so we know. So we have the hands that hang down. God wants us to raise our hands. This hands, knees, feet. I could do a whole sermon on each one of those subjects. We should lift up holy hands to the Lord. We're praising the Lord. And the knees, feeble knees. The word feeble means paralyzed by a stroke. And I guess some of you, your therapy was, how many of you had knee surgery, therapy? The therapy was because of knees. With my wife, when she had knee surgery last July 16, I didn't know what that entailed. It's more than just a surgery. Would you all agree? The success is not over when you go home from the surgery. It's that therapy. And she had to be, I think, 115 degree in her bending the knee. And she was at 120 at least and going further than that. But there's something to that knee. So we want to have knees. I want to have a nimble knee. Because the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So I just practice every once in a while. I know it's physical practice, but we're going to bend the knee to the Lord. And I'd rather do it now. So we have something else now, and that is the feet. Maybe Dan can tell us about what we should do with our feet.
And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame may not be dislocated, but let it rather be healed.
So make straight paths for your feet. I don't know whether it's a hobby or an obsession, but I often like to get a place and watch how people walk. Have you ever just watch how people walk? How? It's like a duck. A lot of us waddle. It's very rarely people walk really straight. One place you can go that I think, the only place that I've seen where someone walks absolutely straight, the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. See how they walk like that? So that's physical, but spiritual is talking about don't stray. Don't stray from the Word of God. Don't get involved in other things. This is important that we walk with the Lord. And it says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. If you walk too bad, if you don't walk right, you trip. And so we're older, especially in our community where we are with senior citizens, we're a lot more careful about tripping. Because when you trip, you probably do what? Fall. When you fall, you might break something. And so it's important there that we walk with the Lord. As a pastor, when I'm preaching, I want to stay in the Word. When you get out of the Word, you go astray and you might trip. And I've known people that never preach the Word of God. So we want to be in the Word, serve the Lord, be together, practice spiritual therapy. But then the next verse, verse 14, pursue partnership with others, and then read that again for us.
Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord.
Follow peace. When we agree, we live in a restless world, but also restless people. I'm so glad that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. In Romans 5:1, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get peace? You get peace by knowing Christ as Savior. And some of you are going through some difficult times. Even with my wife's surgery, it was more severe. It took longer than I thought. And I realized medically is one thing, but to know that God knows all about it. And when we pray, we do not inform the Lord. He already knows. We just put ourselves in line with the Lord. And then Philippians 4:7 said, the peace of God. So I trust you have that peace down inside. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. You're not sure the doctor's got it right, or the insurance agent's got it right, or whatever's going on. They're working on your car, they got it right. But we know that God always has it right. So the word peace means harmonious relationship. But then it says, follow peace with all people. If you can't get along with people, how are you getting along with God? We're going to see something a little bit later on. It says, and with holiness. Do we want to be like Jesus? Do we want to be like the Lord? It used to be they had that expression, what would Jesus do? And you're like, I'd like to sock that guy. Would Jesus sock him? No, well then maybe you shouldn't do that. I'll get him. Is that what Jesus did? So holiness means totally separated unto God. And that says, without which no one shall see the Lord. That word see, that if we turn out of the way, we won't see the Lord. The word see in the Greek is two words. The word optic, but also the word mind. Now, we use that in English. When someone tells you something, what's your response? Oh, I see what you mean. You're not actually saying there, but mentally. So what it's saying here, if we don't walk in holiness and we're not at peace, we won't understand what God is doing. You ever have things happen in your life? You're wondering, what's God doing? Now, I will admit there are times in my life I know God's got some reason, but I've actually written down things, Lord. I'm not questioning you. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to figure out, how are you going to work this out? Oh, that's what God was doing. I'm here today because a lot of twists and turns in my life, I thought, what has that got to do? And you may think, it makes no sense. But God's a master weaver, weaving a pattern. We may not realize what it is, but we understand God knows what's best. And I'm not going to go there, but how many times have you prayed and God said no? And later on you said, I'm sure glad I didn't get that. God's no sometimes has a better yes. So we pursue partnership with fellow believers and with others. Thus far, my message has been very positive. Walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, knowing God's will in my life. But now, verse 15, the whole passage attitude changes. Prevent future disasters. And Dan's going to read the first list for us.
Looking diligently, lest anyone fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled.
Okay, so when we get down here, and it says, looking diligently, has the idea, it's where we get the word scope. Now, I don't have firearms, but I understand these rifles today with a scope on the top can be very accurate. I take their word for it. Said President Trump should have been killed with that guy with a scope, except for God. I don't understand that. But a scope means you can see a lot better. Now, I have a telescope and binoculars, but I don't think you're supposed to put binoculars on top of a rifle when you shoot. I don't think that's probably the way it's supposed to be. So this has the idea, looking at strong details. Look at your life. See what God is doing in your life. And the first one, lest any person fail of the grace of God. It means miss out on God's opportunities. What we could do if we just serve the Lord. Do you know people that seem like they just shortcut themselves from God's blessing? But interesting, this word fail. If any person fail of the grace of God, it is quite an interesting Greek word. Hysterao, from which we get the word hysterectomy. If a young person, it's happening today, young girls want to be a boy, so they have breast removal, they get a hysterectomy, and maybe 10 years later, they will get married and have a family. With the hysterectomy, there's no further opportunity. So here's a person who doesn't obey the Lord. It's like they've cut God out of their lives. They've said no to the Lord. No further opportunity. When I was pastoring in the D.C. area at one time, I was an associate pastor with Jackie's home church, the church she grew up in, started a branch church. So one Sunday I'd be in the branch church. Next church, I'd be in the mother church, back and forth. And in the branch church, there was a young fellow sitting toward the front that just seemed to be hostile. Just seemed like he was just snubbing his nose at God. And so one Sunday, I just felt God is working that man's heart, and he held on to the pew in front of him so hard. His knuckles turned white. I could look down. I could see he's just as mean as he could be. The only time I've ever done this, we had a closing hymn of invitation. We actually had a second hymn. I've never done this. Two hymns. Because that guy is struggling. And I trust he'll accept Christ. He didn't. Walked away. Came back the next times, and there was nothing whatsoever. No response whatsoever. I can't prove it, but I think that young man said to God, get out of my life, and God did. But I didn't know. In the mother church, we had a young lady who was a great organist, doing a great job. One Sunday after church, she came to me and said, Pastor, I resign. Immediately, I began to, well, did someone say something? Is there some problem? And I kept asking questions. I said, well, why are you resigning? She said, I don't believe a word you say. Whoa! What I didn't know is that guy in the branch church was dating her and got her to depart from the faith. They got married. They left Maryland because both families were church people. They cut themselves off from any Christians. Church family alone in Florida. Cut themselves off. Last I heard, they had a divorce. I mean, what kind of life is that? What I'm saying is, when a person walks away from God's grace, it's never going to get better. If God is speaking, we want to go to the things of the Lord. Now, that organist, the last time I ever heard her name mentioned was at her father's funeral. Just her name. She wasn't there. No further reference. It's really sad when you turn your back on the Lord. Well, you don't do your spiritual therapy. You don't follow others. If you don't do physical therapy with the knee. We heard of a guy that had knee replacement. No physical therapy. Followed by second surgery. Those of you that have the knees, you want to have another surgery there? I don't think so. So if we forget the first two, then we'll have this failing the grace of God. Then it says, lest any root of bitterness, sharp, pungent, springing up, trouble you, and by it many being defiled. Bitterness. In my life, the most bitter people I've ever met, oftentimes people that grew up in church, rejected the Lord. I don't know if I can say it. There are some of us that goodness heathen, never heard the Bible. There are others that heard it and rejected it. But people that reject the Lord usually are the most hostile. And some people like that said, sometimes I've done this, I said, did your parents take you to church? Oh, you're talking about getting angry. They really got angry there. But this bitterness, sharp, pungent. Now, I've swallowed a few things in my life that were really bitter. One time in a Chinese restaurant in the D.C. area, I ordered tea. And when I took that tea was the most bitter thing I've ever tasted. Well, the waiter said, how was your meal? Well, the meal was fine. I said, that's the strongest tea I've ever tasted in my life. She went back to the kitchen. They had mixed, I forget now, what it was.
Soy sauce.
If you want something that's bitter, soy sauce will be it. Pull my mouth together. Now, I had another time. I was kind of getting congestion, and I wasn't getting too much better about it. So, Dr. Jackie suggested I take NyQuil. So I took a teaspoon of NyQuil. Now, I thought my teeth were going to come out of my mouth. I said, that is the worst medicine I've ever tasted. I said, I'm not going to take any more. She said, suffer. So I took a second teaspoon. Wow, is that strong. That's the strongest NyQuil I ever heard in my life. A couple of days later, Mrs. Bartz gets a little congestion. She takes a spoonful of this. Oh, how horrible it tasted. My daughter was still home. She said, oh, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. She had to travel with a group of people, and she needed some laundry detergent. So she found an empty NyQuil bottle and put it in there. And so I took these teaspoons of what? Woolite. No pun intended. If you want to clean out your digestive system, that will do it. So what I'm saying is this. There are people today like they've been drinking Woolite. They're bitter all the time. You know people like that? They're angry all the time. Isn't that sad? We have had a road rage too. People get in fights, get hurt. So they have this bitterness, but it says they are defiled. Then in verses 16 and 17, it gets worse. Each one of these things gets worse. So Dan will read us what happened about Esau.
Lest there be any fornicator or godless person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently.
So you can see when a person walks away from the grace of God, they become bitter. Which means we as Christians should be the most loving people in the world. Bitterness. But then it's like this. He's called a profaner and a fornicator. involved in all kinds of wickedness. I think we have a lot of wickedness going on in our world today. People walking away from the Lord. And the word profane means no relationship with God. Can you think about it? How do people live today that don't have a relationship with the Lord? Would you agree in this church, one of the most encouraging things you get in email would be prayer requests from this church, and you know people are going to be praying for you. What do people do in the world when nobody prays for them? I was so encouraged with Jackie to know that people were praying for her knee. I know it's normal surgery, normal recovery, but it's good to be among Christians and we can share together. We go through deep sorrow. Others are there. And this person has no relationship whatsoever. Now it says here, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Do you ever see people today how they're doing it? They're giving their life away for cocaine? I've only had strong medicine a couple of times in my life. Morphine when I had the surgery on the stomach. And I thought, after a day of that, I took myself off of it. I felt like a space monkey. So the doctor came to me and said, you could reduce that. I said, I reduced it yesterday. I can't imagine people being on drugs and all that kind of stuff. That messes their mind. But it says he sold. Now, later on, he protests this. But the word sold means willingly, deliberately gave it away. People deliberately walk away from the Lord. It would seem to me what God does for us, all of us would want to follow the Lord. Now, it says he sold his birthright. That means right of citizenship, preeminence, authority. When I was growing up, I began to realize I'm an only child on a farm. And in the summertime, we would hire other guys, my buddies from school, to come and work at the farm. So when we got finished working, Dad would always pay by cash. So he gave everyone, including me, the same amount of money. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. I had to get up at 6 o'clock. These guys came at 9. They quit at 5. I worked till dark. So I thought, well, maybe later on, Dad would give me a little bit more. Never did. And then during the day, they would get a break. Say, Samuel, go do this. And so Kenny and Donald, take a break. I thought, what's going on here? I'm working double, and I don't get paid anymore. But then as I began to get in teenagers, began to think a little differently. Wait a minute. I'm the only child. When Kenny and Donald get to the end of the driveway, that's all they're going to get. Someday, this whole farm is going to be mine. And later on, Dad went to Frederick, had my name put on the deed. A whole lot different. Now, I had a cousin, never showed up till later. He thought I should give him part of the farm. No way, Jose, I'm giving, but I'm not giving away my inheritance. But Esau gave away his inheritance. Now, I trust as Christians, we're not going to give away. Would you give away the access to God in prayer? No way. Would you give away the joy of the Lord? No way. But here's Esau, sold out everything. Then in verse 17, for you know that afterward, some of us are living later in life. We've seen people when they're young made a lot of terrible mistakes. And you reap it when you get older. So afterward, later on, he wanted to get the blessing when he would have inherited. He could have gotten it, but he sold it to Jacob. Now, there's a story here about it. Esau came in from the field. He's hungry. Jacob is apparently a good cook. He was a good hunter. Jacob was a good cook. And so Esau said, I can have some of that soup that you're making there. He said, sell your birthright. And he said, well, I'm going to die anyway. You might as well sell it. Then later, don't sell out. Don't sell out for the things of the world. It says he was rejected. He was not approved. He had no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What I'm seeing a lot of people, there's a difference between repent and regret. When I got out of high school, one of the things I got within a month was a news reporter for the Frederick Post. I looked back and I thought, that's a bigger risk than they thought. But the Lord had me there. One of the things I covered was court, master's court. And I often watched the attitude of the defendant. And then watched the judge. I got to know the judge is pretty good. If the defendant would come in, put me in prison if you want to. That guy's going to go. Other people, they regret they got caught. But they didn't regret what they did. So we don't see any change of mind. He was sorry he didn't get it. But not because anything changed in his heart. For each of us, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we repented, realizing we were sinners. We don't deserve heaven. When I got saved, I didn't say to God, God, you sure got a good bargain when you got me. I'm the one got the bargain, not the Lord. And so we realize we're sinners. Sin carries a death penalty. But we change our heart and our mind toward the Lord. I trust today each of us will have an attitude of working with the Lord. So keep up that spiritual therapy. Now, with Jackie and those of you, you go back to your surgeon for that checkup. They know whether or not you've done your surgery, right? They know whether you've done your therapy. When you go back to a doctor, even with mine, they'll ask, now, are you doing this? Especially my speech therapist, Joanna. When she found out I was a preacher, she just wouldn't quit. And she kept going. She said, are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Let's make sure we're reading our Bibles, we're praying, we're depending on the Lord, and God will see us through these difficult times. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace. Thank you for those who work in our lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we have salvation. Help us not to turn our back on you. You know what you're doing. We commit ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen.
when the road is cold and yonder, 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 I'll be there. Thank God for old hymns with a title. When the row is called up yonder, will you be there? Thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the promises in your word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Keep your hand upon your people, Lord, as they travel home. Keep us safe this week, Lord, until we return. May you always be blessed and glorified, and may you always be the priority in our lives. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures.